We have the Gospel of John this morning. The Gospel yesterday for Christmas Eve was the Gospel of Luke, and that's the Christmas story about the angels and the shepherds. The Gospel of Mark we had a couple weeks ago, and that's the one that starts out very starkly, the Gospel of the Good News of Jesus, the Son of God. Matthew's Gospel talks about wise people, kings coming to visit, and shepherds. So it's a mixture of everything. But you are in the heaviest of Gospels, John, where he starts out talking about the Word made flesh, very, very deep theological. So this is the Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent by John, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He, Jesus, came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory. The glory is of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. These are the words of sacred scripture. We have the hymn last night, Silent Night, which you're familiar with. Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm. And sometimes in the solitude of our lives, we realize that silence is God's active language. So even though the words of that hymn talk about calmness and peace, but it also talks about Jesus as being love's pure light and the dawn of redeeming grace. What's key is that Jesus enters our hearts stealthily, quietly, silently. He always wants to be part of our lives, never intrudes on us, never pushes into us, never invades our hearts or our wills. So we may be disturbed at times by the world around us. We may be troubled by how other people affect us. We may be concerned about the conditions of our bodies when we're not feeling well. However, in the condition of the world, other people and our illnesses, they all help us to invite ourselves to seek Jesus and to welcome him into our lives. Distress causes us to look outside of our lives. So, what does the Christmas story have to tell us about all of this? On a morning like this, it's so easy to look at the entire Christmas narrative that we remember and see a powerful story unfold before us. When we hear the account of the birth of Jesus with all the surrounding narratives of angels and shepherds and wise kings, we are often mistakenly led to believe that the world should have immediately recognized that a very special person was just born. We are led to think that the then civilized world should have given him homage. We are led to feel that the religious leaders should have brought him to the temple and given him a special place of homage in the temple. So why didn't that happen? The answer was that Jesus was born in the very same way that he enters into our own hearts. Stealthily, quietly, and silently. Jesus has always wanted to be part of our world, part of our very lives. And that is the reading today, the Word made flesh. The Word that existed for all time. So then Jesus was born, and he dwelt among us. But he never imposed on us, ever. He never pushed his way into this world. He did not overtly invade our minds or our hearts or our wills. When Jesus started his ministry, he realized that those around him were disturbed by the circumstances of their world. They were affected, as we are, by how other people mistreated them. And they were distressed by their illnesses. Once Jesus sought out his active ministry, they sought Jesus out to be cured as well as to be forgiven of their sins. So let's go back in Christmas. What did happen at Christmas time? What is the Christmas story? How did Jesus enter our world so furtively? So the Christmas story begins with Elizabeth conceiving a child. His name was John, later to be called John the Baptist, by her husband Zechariah. He was a temple priest and he performed priestly duties in the temple in Jerusalem. He was unable to speak after he doubted the angel's proclamation to him that he and Elizabeth would have a child. Some months later, an angel appeared to Mary. And that's when the angel made the annunciation to Mary, and Mary accepted the invitation to be a mother. That was the major miracle. So if we take Jesus' birthday as today, December 25, 2011, let's work backward. Let's go back to September of 2010. That's over a year ago. Now, based on artificially stating that Jesus was born today, then John the Baptist was conceived in September of 2010. And that was after, as I said, the angel appeared to Zechariah while he was in the temple in the sanctuary. There were no witnesses. But he emerged from the sanctuary unable to talk. No angel appeared to Elizabeth. According to Luke's gospel, Elizabeth and Zechariah lived in the hill country in a Judean town near Jerusalem, a town so small that it didn't even deserve a name in the Gospels. Nothing happened for 6 more months. Nothing. So 6 months later, we're up to March of this year, 2011. Geographically, we are now far north. We're in Nazareth in Galilee, in northern Israel, which is 96 traveling miles north of Jerusalem. And what happened then was that major miracle. The gospel states that an angel appeared to Mary, and Mary agreed to be the mother of Jesus. No angel appeared to Joseph, who was her engaged husband. Joseph simply had a dream in which he was told, "Don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife." Then at this time, right after the Annunciation, Mary went to visit Elizabeth, who was 6 months into her pregnancy. What did happen at that time, Elizabeth recognized the power of God when Mary arrived, and Elizabeth exclaimed to Mary, "Why has the mother of my Lord come to visit me?" Mary stayed with Elizabeth and helped her until her child, John, later called the Baptist, was born. And using our timeline, that would have been in June of this year, 2011. And this all comes out in Luke's gospel. When John was born, then Zechariah regained his speech. Mary returned the 96 miles to Nazareth in Galilee to rejoin her engaged husband, Joseph. Nothing happened again for 6 more months. Nothing. So now we're 6 months later, and we're into today's date, December 25, 2011. A couple weeks earlier, Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem to be registered for a tax census. The traveling distance from Nazareth, Galilee in northern Israel to Bethlehem, Judea in southern Israel is 99.7 miles. While in Bethlehem, Mary gave birth to the child Jesus. Our timeline is then today. There is nothing remarkable about Jesus' birth. Nothing. He was born of poor parents. He was born in a shed of some sort. He did not have a proper crib. But what did happen, which was miraculous, was that some itinerant people who watched and guarded sheep had an angel appear to them. The first words of the angel were, "Do not be afraid." I would have been terrified. Then the shepherds heard the praise, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among all people." The shepherds then went, found the child, and he was lying in the manger. Imagine the surprise of Mary and Joseph to have these people walk in and tell their story. Nothing else other than the visiting shepherds occurred at the time Jesus was born. Nothing. Roughly 40 days after Jesus' birth, Mary went to the temple to be purified. This was required by Mosaic law, and he was presented as the firstborn son of the family. When they were on the temple grounds, there was a prophet by the name of Simeon and a prophetess by the name of Anna. And Simeon took the child in his arms, and both of them proclaimed that this was a special child, a light for revelation, a glory of the people of Israel, and a child that people who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem should look toward. Nothing happened again for many, many months, perhaps close to 2 years. But what occurred then was that some men, wise men, some call them kings, traveled to Jerusalem and asked Herod about a child who was born, who was, as they announced, the king of the Jews. This, of course, called Herod to be very, very afraid of his power. So according to Matthew's gospel, he slaughtered all infants and toddlers who lived in the region of Bethlehem who were under the age of 2 years old. Mary and Joseph, as you know, escaped with Jesus. So in our timeline, this would be sometime in the year 2012 or sometime in the year 2013, probably closer to the fall of 2013. Nothing happened again until Jesus was 12 years old. Nothing. And even then, it was nothing out of the ordinary. What happened is Mary and Joseph and Jesus went to Jerusalem to the temple. And when they returned back with their family, they found on their way that Jesus was not among them. So they returned back and they found him discussing theology with the temple priests. Nothing again occurred until Jesus was about 30 years old. Nothing. Based on the timeline, we're now in the year 2041. Jesus started his very, very active ministry for 3 years. And then, according to our timeline, in 2044, Jesus was put to death. Why did I come up with this timeline? I want to demonstrate that Jesus did not enter the world with the fanfare that sometimes we're led to believe. According to Luke's and Matthew's gospel, there were some intriguing moments, angels and all. But notice how separated everything was, not just in time, but also in geography, distance. Even if one set of people saw a tremendous surge of angelic power, or at least something out of the ordinary, in the lives of Elizabeth and Zechariah, or later in the lives of Mary and Joseph, the people in the other geographic area did not experience or learn about that either. And at the time of Jesus' birth, the only group that experienced any surge of angelic power or something out of the ordinary were the shepherds, and they probably were believed by very few people because they were shepherds. That's how Jesus entered our world, quietly, as a baby, almost furtively. So, on the one hand, we have God, our God, ineffable, indefinable, overwhelming, omnipresent, omnipowerful, indescribable. And now God has come and given us a face. God has come as the Word made flesh. Through the incarnation, we have a divine person. God is with us.